Today we have our missions service, and our text this morning is from 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to read verses 17 to 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us to the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Praise God for his word to us.
The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Good morning. My name is Brandon Mick, and I'm one of the pastors here at Westkirk, and that I am being called upon to preach today speaks to the unusual circumstances that we find ourselves in these days as we continue to find our way along the changing landscape created by a global pandemic. For today is Mission Sunday, as Mark has mentioned. Over these last many years, we here at Westkirk have celebrated missions for the entire month of June, and it has been our usual practice to culminate our month of celebrations by inviting a missionary or a partnering ministry leader to preach on this last Sunday of the month. But as things have worked out this year, the missionary that we had lined up was unable to join us here today due to travel restrictions and difficulties in planning, and not knowing how then to prepare to have someone else join us, we had to make other plans. It's my privilege to be those other plans. And it is an honor to have been given this opportunity to preach this morning. This morning, we're taking a Sunday out of our book study of the book of Acts to focus our hearts and our minds and our lives on missions. I've selected a text from one of Paul's letters to guide our thinking about this topic this morning, and I pray that this time today might refresh and renew us as we dive back into the book of Acts later, which is, among many things, a missionary document. So let's get into our text in 2 Corinthians 5, but before we do, let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for this time in worship this morning, a time to sing your praises, a time to be renewed in grace, and a time to be challenged and strengthened by your word. We pray that you would, by your Spirit's work in us, open our lives to receive your word for us today. Give us faith to believe it, and faith to live into its truths for us. We pray that you would do this for our good and for the sake of your glory in us. And so use your word to further your good work of refining us out of sin and brokenness into the image of Jesus. And we pray that you would do this for the sake of the world as you turn us outward today from this time of worship into a world that desperately needs the gospel. And so, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Christ I pray. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. I don't know what sort of picture you have in your mind when you think of the Apostle Paul. His writings can be awfully theological, head in the stratosphere kind of stuff at times. His writings can be confrontational and demanding. And as we've been studying in the book of Acts recently, we know of the strictness of his background in Judaism, and we know of the harshness that that strictness took in his persecution of the early church. I don't often think of the Apostle Paul as a fun-loving and easy-breezy kind of guy. But there are times in his writings when it seems to pull back the curtain on this strict and exacting picture that I have of Paul to reveal a man whose utter amazement and joy in knowing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ leaves the theologian and pastor lost for words. You see, there is delight in this gospel business for Paul. This is one such sentence. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That sentence is as loaded for the Apostle Paul as it is wanting for words. The sentence is as loaded with meaning for Paul as it is wanting for words. Let me explain what I mean. First, this sentence is loaded. What I mean by this is that phrase, in Christ, is a kind of Pauline shorthand. There's more to it than meets the eye. In Christ, what does it mean to be in Christ according to Paul? Elsewhere in his writings, Philippians 3, verses 8 and 9, Paul writes, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." I was reading a short article on that passage this week from Jonathan Parnell of Desiring God. He frames it in a way that I think is helpful. He says, "To be found in Christ introduces the central metaphor in Paul's theology, union with Christ. It is the grammar of the gospel by which Paul speaks. Being found in Jesus is actually cosmic in its scope. The world, as Romans 5, 12 through 21 tells us, is divided into two humanities, Adam or Jesus. There is the old age in Adam and the new creation in Christ. Paul is not speaking sentimentally here. He is reconstituting his entire personhood. To be found in Christ is to come to the end of self, the end of Adam, the end of the old age. Paul is saying that he wants to be defined altogether differently, not dead in sin, but alive to God in Christ. He is a new man with a new humanity that's part of a new world." In Christ. Two words. But a doorway to this new cosmic reality that has been opened in this world through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If anyone is in Christ, is a loaded sentence for Paul. I also said that it is a sentence wanting for words. In English translations, we actually have the object and verb added for us to make it readable. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. In the Greek, though, it actually reads, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, new creation." There's no object or verb in the second part of that sentence. And here is where I see Paul's delightfulness and playfulness peeking out. The change for a person who is in Christ is so dramatic, so categorically different from their life before being in Christ, it's like Paul doesn't even have time for an object or a verb in his excitement and joy in conveying the striking newness of the situation. If you are in Christ, bam, new creation. If you are in Christ, you belong to the new order of humanity inaugurated in Jesus. Your life is one saved from the old order of death and Adam. Your life is redeemed to life with God in Jesus Christ. If you have turned to Jesus by faith for the forgiveness of sins offered in him, God has taken hold of your life and is doing something new in you. And this new thing in you is all a part of what he is doing in the world as he unites people to his Son. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Behold, I love that. That gets the attention. Behold, I should use that with my kids more to get them to quit ignoring me. Behold, children, your dinner's ready. Paul, in seeming excitement, has been a little economical in his words, but here beckons us to look deeper into what he's showing us, to think more clearly about what he's saying. Behold, look, peer into this mystery of new life in Jesus. Brother, look at your life. Sister, slow down and peer into the work that God is doing in you. Behold, new things. And continuing in verse 18, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. A few weeks ago, I turned 41 years old. It's official, as if it wasn't before. I have entered those middle of life years. I have not had the desire to acquire for myself a boat or a convertible. But I have been thinking back upon my life quite a bit recently. Now, I suspect it's fairly common, but some of the memories that I have very strong emotions attached to them. I was thinking this week about one of those very early memories in my life. I'm hiding. I'm under this green press board slide that my brother and I had in our house. And I'm in trouble. I'm not exactly sure what it was that I did. Perhaps it was that same incident where I had fed my infant sister a whole bag of balloons, just like amazed that she kept eating them while I gave them to her. And to be honest, I wasn't in trouble at that exact moment. I was in trouble when my mother went to change her diaper and found a kaleidoscope of colors there. But my memory, I'm hiding. I'm under the slide. I'm in trouble. And in my memory, I can feel, not simply hear, I can feel my mother's voice seeking me out as she moves her way through our home looking for her son. Her voice beckons her son, not simply a miniature convict on the lam, and I can feel the weight of her voice calling my name. Recently, also, my mind and heart have been drawn back again and again to a question in the Scriptures. A question, as I ponder the gospel and God's heart for the lost, it's a question God asks very early on in the scriptural testimony of his work in history. God had created the world and all there is in it, sun, moon, stars, sky, land, water, living things, plants, and animals, and people. And it was all good. It was good. A goodness we have never seen or experienced because of the story of the history of the world doesn't end there. The goodness was broken by the sin of the first man and first woman. They disobeyed. They rebelled against God's goodness. And the confession of our faith is that disobedience has had tragic and lasting effects in all God's good creation, in our relationships with one another, and in our relationship to our God who made us to dwell in his goodness. Adam and Eve stepped out of that goodness in their rebellion against God, and in stepping outside of that goodness, they realized what they'd done, and they hid from God and his goodness. The question in Genesis 3:9, where are you? I think about that question a lot. Adam and Eve in their brokenness hiding. God, the loving creator, a kind father, calls out to his children, where are you? There is love, and there is longing in that question. And the question itself is important. It isn't a furious, why did you do this? It isn't an injured, how could you do this to me? It is, where are you? The heart of God, grieved by sin of his children and grieved for his children, reaches out to them in that question, where are you? That question on the lips of God also contains resolve. As the rest of the scripture reveals it to us, that question is a loaded question, for we see in all the scriptures the heart of God to find that which has been hiding and lost to sin, to redeem and reconcile humanity to himself. And I find the grief and love and longing of God in that question to be perfectly answered in Paul's statement. If anyone is in Christ, new creation. That which has been lost to sin is found in Christ. That relationship between God and humankind, which has been broken, polluted, perverted, divided, and disintegrated because of sin, is restored, is made new in the person and work of Jesus Christ. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Being reconciled to God, we are simultaneously reconciled to God's heart for the world. And here is where I think that this passage becomes even more useful for us as we consider missions today. How do we understand the work of missions? According to Paul in this text today, I think we ought not to see it as a task that we are handed when we become believers, but an identity that we are given. We are not forgiven in Jesus and then given a job. Rather, it is something inherent to our salvation in Christ. Being in Christ, we are enfolded into God's family and given not simply a new job, but a new heart, and entrusted with God's very own work, reconciliation. This enfolding into the life of Christ is what theologians refer to as I mentioned in that article I quoted a little bit ago, union with Christ. J. Todd Billings, a contemporary Reformed theologian, in a 2011 work on the theological framework of union with Christ, says this: in the fall, humans were alienated from God and other creatures. When the Spirit comes to us in redemption, uniting us to Jesus Christ, we do not lose our true identity. Rather, it is restored. Since we were not created to be autonomous, self-made people, but were created to be in communion with God, when the Spirit leads us back into communion with God in Christ, we do not lose our true selves, we regain them. When the Spirit leads us back into communion with God in Christ, we do not lose our true selves, we regain them. This being Mission Sunday, I thought that this passage would be powerfully informative for us as we consider missions and the church's role in the work of missions. At Westkirk, we say that we exist to know Christ and make him known, and we pray that we are ever faithful to that statement in our services, in our programming, and in our events. But it is also because of that conviction that we support and celebrate missions here at Westkirk. We support many missionaries and ministries around our city and nation and around the world who are lifting high the name of Jesus. We've been posting video updates from many of these this month and showing them in our worship, a few of them this month. We are so grateful for these missionaries and the ministries that they're a part of. And we are so grateful for the small and big ways that we get to be a part of them. And I'd ask you to continue to support these missionaries and ministries financially and in prayer. And I am a huge fan of how Westkirk does this. But 11% of our budget goes to missions. And for that, I am so grateful. But if we consider our identity as Christians, our identity as those who are in Christ, we ought not be satisfied with giving and even praying for those who are out there in the mission field. But we ought to be looking for the work of ministry that God is calling each one of us to, each one of us who is in Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. If you are in Christ, you are simply no longer defined by your sin. You are defined by your right standing, by your communion with God. And as one in communion with God, you are given a new heart, God's heart, which is tuned towards reconciliation and turned to the world. Pondering our union with Christ, missions isn't so much a task for some believers, it is an identity for all believers. For all of us who are instances of God's new things becoming in the world. Christopher Wright, an Anglican churchman and professor of missiology, puts it well, I think. He says this: it is not so much the case that God has a mission for his church in the world, as that God has a church for his mission in the world. Mission was not made for the church. The church was made for mission, God's mission. And because God has a church for his mission in the world, we need to look at ourselves and missions rightly. In verse 20, we continue, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is one who speaks both on behalf of someone in authority over them and in the place of that authority speaking directly. That is, ambassadors represent not themselves, but the authority that is over them. One who is in Christ and is an ambassador for Christ does no longer represent themselves, but the one who is in authority over them. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And in speaking of ourselves who are in Christ as ambassadors, this makes me think of the way that many have framed the church. They framed it as an embassy, or as a territory in a foreign land. Eugene Peterson, who so often wrote with striking lucidity about the ministry and the church, says this on this point. Writing about the church, he says, "The Holy Spirit formed it to be a colony of heaven in the country of death." Church is the core element in the strategy of the Holy Spirit for providing human witness and physical presence to the Jesus-inaugurated kingdom of God in this world. It is not the kingdom complete, but it is a witness to that kingdom. Church is an appointed gathering of named people in particular places who practice a life of resurrection in a world in which death gets the biggest headlines. The practice of resurrection is an intentional, deliberate decision to believe and participate in resurrection life. Life out of death. Life that trumps death. Life that is the last word, Jesus life. Resurrection life, as Peterson phrases it, is that life that has been reconciled to God because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. A life that embodies the message of reconciliation. A life that reflects and refracts the abundant of grace of God shown to me into the world around me. And as I read the conditions of it right now, it is a world which is anemic and starving for grace. And the message of reconciliation is not given to a select few missionaries, but to the church, to all who are in Christ, made new creations, reconciled to God, made ambassadors in charge to declare the message of reconciliation in the world, a world which is broken by sin, which is for us, those of us who are in Christ, a foreign land. And as foreigners in this country of death, we are to be no longer shaped and motivated by the ways and means of this country, by competition and bitterness and rage and selfishness and hatred. We are shaped and motivated by grace, as we are remade into the image of Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. And so, this message of reconciliation is not simply for Greece and Romania, Central Asia, Ireland, France, all those countries where we have missionaries that we support. This message is for Des Moines, Iowa. It's for Urbandale. It's for West Des Moines. It's for Windsor Heights, for Waukee, for Clive, for Ankeny, for Van Meter, for Mitchellville, for Berwick, for Adel, for Johnston, for Polk City, for Norwalk, for Winterset. The message of reconciliation is for wherever God has stationed you as his ambassador. But Paul's not done. As we've already discussed in speaking about the role of ambassadors, an ambassador speaks not for themselves, but on behalf of the one in authority over them. That is, the message of their station is not their own message, but it is of the one who is in authority over them. So what is that message? For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Where are you? God calls to Adam and Eve, hidden in their sin, bringing in his children to be found in Christ is God's answer to the problem. And he does this by dealing with our sin in Jesus. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In Christ, God's righteous judgment has been poured out upon sin, so that those who by faith place their hope in Jesus may be forgiven and found in him. In Jesus, God no longer calls to us hiding in sin, but finds us standing in Christ's righteousness. And this is good news. This is the message of God's reconciling love for the world. And as one in Christ, as an ambassador through whom God makes his appeal, this is your message for the world around you. And as unloving, as ungracious, and unforgiving as our world is right now, this is an always timely and all-important message to bear. And it's big. The gospel is a big burden to bear unto a world starving for it and often antagonistic toward it in its raving hunger for it. It's big. But it is not an overwhelming task. It is simply, delightfully, and joyfully, if you join Paul in his wonder at the gospel, it is simply, delightfully, and joyfully your grace-made, grace-shaped, and grace-powered identity as one who has been claimed by God, as one who has been found in Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let's pray. O God, our God, we do marvel at your reconciling love toward us. We marvel at your grace which finds us and brings us into your family. We give you thanks and further ask that you would shape us by that grace into the people you long for us to be, no longer driven and shaped by sinfulness, but by love for you and those around us. We ask that by your Spirit you would continue your good work in us for our good, for your glory, and for the sake of the world. Amen.
We respond to the hearing of God's word by singing, "We are called to be God's people. Let's rise in heart or body."
God, receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in that peace. Amen.